If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Paul says, treat people, verse 2, treat people with dignity and respect. Don't mistreat people. Treat them with dignity and respect. Then he says, endeavor, work at keeping what? Unity. Tell your neighbor, keep unity. Work at it. Say it, work at it. Work at it. He said, I have to convince you of this. There is only one body. We are all part of one body. How many of you have one body? I didn't ask how many souls and minds. Because there may be two or three people occupying. And I don't say that. I was with a clinical psychologist once, and this brother and I were talking. When I get with these people, we talk shop. And so we were talking, and he said, Pastor, he said, I ran into something I never thought I would see. I said, what's that? He said, a born-again believer, a born-again, spirit-filled believer with 13 distinct personalities. Now, see, we would say that's demonic. It's not. It's not. It really is not demonic. You form personalities based on your responses to your environment. It has nothing to do with the devil. In an environment where you don't feel comfortable, your protector will come up. But your protector will lay down when you're with friends. I do threat assessments everywhere I go. I'll be so glad when Jesus comes. I won't have to do that anymore. I look at people. I spot that one might try to hurt me. I can take them out. That one I can do so-and-so to. That one I can slam against the door. I do that every time I go. It is a horrible way to live, but that's Ricky. Ricky protects me. He protects me. When I get on the bus or the subway, Ricky scans the whole subway. He's looking for anything that's out of place. That's his job. You don't want him. And everybody who doesn't know me gets to meet Ricky. Ricky doesn't like anybody. He warns me, don't trust them. They're telling you you're their father and you they love you. Don't trust them. Ricky could save me from heartbreak. Amen. And so every one of us has that. Somebody. And the Holy Spirit comes to override him and says, look, give him a chance. I have not fully yielded to that. But there's only one body. You understand? I only have one body. I don't have two or three bodies. There is only one body of God. It's called the church. That's it. There is only one Lord over that body. There is one Father, one God, and there's only one Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Verse 7. But unto every part of that body is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Now, in Ephesians 4, Paul does something that requires significant understanding. Paul says here, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's a certain ambiguity here with gift. You don't know what he's talking about. He just says, because the context doesn't hold true to it, the preceding context. He now says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, he shifts from the identification of the body, one Lord, one God, one body. And now he says, all right, now I'm going to deal with the gifts in the body. And the problem with the gifts in the body is that he is going to explain the gifts to the body and then the gifts of the body. And you must understand the difference in the preposition. The gift to the body causes the body to function and grow. The gifts of the body are the result of significant to. So it says, he goes into, you know, some other dialogue, verses 8 through 10. Then he says, and he gave these gifts, what? To the body. These are gifts to the body. Do you hear what I'm saying? These are gifts to the body. Now listen carefully. These are the only gifts to the body. And these gifts must perfect the gifts of the body. You with me? Come on, 730. Listen, here's the gifts to the body. Now, the King James says, and he gave some. But in the Greek, he gave some to be. You with me? So the verb to be is implied here in the King James, but it's specifically given. He gave some of those gifts to be apostles. Everybody is not an apostle. Some are governmental people. Why? Because the first thing God wants in his body is order. You can't have a body without order. What's your order position or your order tool of your body? Your brain. You understand? What's the big medical decision? Are you dead if you are heart dead or brain dead? Now most of them are going with brain dead now. Because the heart can be shocked back with those paddles. But once your brain dead, you're done. Because nothing else will be told what to do. Glory to God. I'm so glad we can't make it without our head, literally and spiritually. We cannot make it without the Lord of the church. We need him. No matter how anointed you are, you must be connected to the head. And if I might say this, what I'm about to show you in verse 11, they're the neck. Watch. He gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists. And some will be pastor teachers. Now, we're not going to squabble over fivefold or fourfold. Doesn't matter. Just say what, however you want. It's not critical. But the impression that he gives is that he gives these gifts for this purpose. For the perfecting of the saints. Verse 12. You understand? Now, this is where the King James kind of, you know, throws in a word that... The King James says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But in the Greek, he says, he gave these ministry gifts for the perfecting of the saints to do the ministry. Are you hearing me? Watch. My brain teaches my hands what? My brain teaches my eyes what? So in other words, my head tells my members what to, well, that's the same impression here. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor teacher teaches the saints what, but there's one great difference. My body doesn't tell my brain, shut up, leave me alone, I'm not listening to you. So the Lord tries to counter that by saying, submit to those who have authority over you. You hear me? Listen, he says, they're given to help you do the work of the ministry. All right. Now, how are you going to do the work unless you know what gift you have to do it? Jesus talked about talents, but he never talked about gifts. Because a talent and a gift are two different things. A talent is a natural ability that can be trained. A person may have a gift of singing, and they just sing. But a person with a talent may have the talent recognized, go off to Juilliard, have that gift, have that talent trained, and come back and blow us away. Amen. But the person with the gift, because the gift comes from God, and he gives you the grace for the gift. I don't have the gift of singing. I'm a shower singer, okay? I can sing in the shower and in my car, but I would never sing like I do in my car in here. In my car, I sing like Pavarotti because I don't want y'all to see me because my face distorts. I get down in my car. I had the three tenors on in my radio, while I was driving downtown. I had my window down, and I was singing "O Sole Mio" right with Luciano Pavarotti. And I stopped at the light and forgot I had my window down, and I was kicking it out. And people were looking, what this black man singing opera? But that's not my gift to the church. This is. You follow me? So when I understand that I have a gift, everyone in here that knows that they have a gift, raise your hand, okay? That's about 98% of you. Now, the other 2% who didn't raise their hand, is it because you don't know you have a gift, you don't want a gift, or you say God made a mistake in giving you the gift? Now, listen to me carefully. You have certain muscles in your body, triceps, biceps, trapezius, you know, quadriceps, hamstrings. You have muscles in your body. If you don't use those muscles, they atrophy, they get weak. When muscles get weak, they rebel when you try to use them. Like if you're not used to walking and you walk from here to Walgreens, you're going to be huffing and puffing, and it's only 50 yards. I mean, you can't do it. Why? Because you're not used to using. Okay, same way with your spiritual gift. If you don't use your spiritual gift, it's not going anywhere, but it gets weak. Now, here's what you must understand. God gave you that gift for where you're going, not for where you are. So when you tell him, I don't want to use my gift, by the time you get there, here's what's going to happen. God is a God who knows the end from the beginning. You with me? Okay, so all y'all get up, the whole front row, every one of you get up and come line up this way. Come on. There you go. Line up, every one of you, get shoulder to shoulder, and there you go. Now, on the count of three, I need you all to walk towards me in an aggressive way, okay? And don't come before the steps, because if you come up the steps, I won't be Pastor Lambert anymore, all right? So if my feet start to shift, don't just, but I need you to come at me real slow in an aggressive way. One, two, three. Okay, stop. Now, you saw that happen? All right, now, God knew that was going to happen. Thank you, brothers. I needed you to have that lesson. Watch this. God knew that was going to happen today. So 5 years ago, he gave me grace for a gift to handle that today. If I did not utilize what he gave me when that came, I would not be able to stand. And I could not tell him it was his fault that they overpowered me. He says, I gave you a gift. I gave you something to enable you to handle that, but you chose not to use it. So look. All the way back here, I tried to get you to believe me for something small, because those horsemen were coming at you. And I knew that if you would trust me back here, when they came at you in 2016, you would be able to handle it. But because you ignored my gift and all you did was whine about what I didn't do for you, then when that trial came, you couldn't handle it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must understand that like this body, you grow until you're ready to handle something. How many of you have had little children? Little children, all right? Okay, now, when you're a little child, every little child wants to help you until they become teenagers. Then they want to hurt you, okay? Then they usually repent after they're 21 and come back and want to live with you. But when they're little, you come home with grocery bags, right? And they walk over and say, let me carry a bag, mommy. Let me carry a bag, daddy. What do? You give them a bag, but you've assessed the weight of the bag. You don't give them the bag with the two or three bottles of juice. You give them the one bag with the bread in it. Now watch. You will continue to give them bags. They will get heavier as they grow, until the point where you don't even go anymore, you send them. Because the gift has begun to mature. You with me? God, this is my 7:30 crowd. God doesn't do as much for you when you get older as he used to do when you were a baby, because he expects you to have matured with your gift. When you were a new Christian, God would stop. Don't you talk about my child. Don't you talk about my child. Now he just let anybody talk about you. Sometimes he just stir it up. Go on, talk about Eric. Go ahead, talk about it. Go ahead, talk about it. Because he knows at this point, it don't matter. You become so solidified in your connection that it doesn't matter anymore. It's called maturity. When I was 18, if somebody pulled up alongside of my car, and stepped on their gas and, you know, act like they want to race, I'd put my car in neutral and rev up my engine. Now when they do it, I just look over and say, go ahead. Why? Maturity. Well, why do you think God gave you those gifts? To sit around and look cute? No. Because he knows that the enemy is coming to fight. And God can't have punkish, whining, babyish behavior. Going to turn your back on God because he didn't give you any money. Going to turn your back on God because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. Oh, grow up. That's why God let your parents tell you no. I've been told no enough by my parents that I don't mind if God tells me no. And so God wants us to understand how important it is to use the gift that he put in you. Who wants to go to heaven with an unused gift? Well, why do you think the Holy Spirit came in there? Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Right? Then it says, and the earth was void and without form. Right? Then it says, and the Spirit of God hovered. The Hebrew word, the verb is brooded. It means he waited for action. What was the action? God said, listen to this. You were born with the gifts that God has for you. Because he knew that you would be in his kingdom. Gifts did not just drop in on you when you were born again. But they were dormant. Watch. A person with the gift of prophecy before Christ had a strange ability. They could tell you some things about your life. And you would say, how do you know that? They would say, I don't know. I just know. Some before Christ would go into fortune telling. Because fortune telling is prophecy perverted. But you didn't know that you had word of wisdom and word of knowledge. But when you became a Christian, Holy Spirit came in to energize. He didn't drop a gift in you. It was already there. Lord, help me. This preaching skill that you see developed in me now, this wasn't something dropped in me when I was called. I was called because I had it. Then it just needed to be trained. And God operates on laws of reciprocity. He said the only way this gift is really going to be trained is if you associate with people who have the same gift. So he touched Mark Sharona's heart to call me down to Raleigh to sit with other men of God to help perfect it. You don't perfect preaching by hanging around teachers. You don't perfect prophecy by hanging around healers. Watch this. So now here we are, placed in a body with skills. See, I didn't want to. You say, how do I get this skill to come alive? It's real easy. It's real easy. There's nothing deep here. Paul said, stir up the gift. First person proper. First person proper middle voice. He says, stir up the gift, Timothy. Who stirs it? You stir it. He says, the gift was given to you by the laying on of hands. It was energized. It gives the impression that when the hands are laid on you, it gives you the gift. No, it energizes what's laying in there. Now, oh, Jesus. Jesus, Holy Spirit's already given you the gift. The laying on of hands by the presbytery, by the leader. Who empowered you as a child? Your parents. When they gave you money, they said, go to the store. What were they doing? Empowering you. When they said, you can go out and stay till 10. What were they saying? They were saying, we empower you to stay till 10. But we did that to our daughter. We gave her a curfew. And when she came to a certain age, we always gave our daughter permission to challenge our rulings, but never our authority. So she was, you know, she's like me, and she comes in one day, and we had given her the regular curfew. She said, I don't think that's fair. And I said, make your case. She said, if I'm with my friends, you know where I am, we're having a good time, why should I come back at such and such a time? And her mother and I talked about it, and we said, okay, so we expanded it. That's called prayer. She besought the Father, who spoke to the Holy Ghost, who enabled her to have what she wanted. It was done orderly. She didn't go out and say, I ain't paying no attention to them, because then she would have known there's a price to pay. So you go to God and you pray and you say, God, why is this happening? Give me insight. Show me what's going on. You're not changing his will. Oh, you know what? Y'all are blessed. Y'all getting stuff I'm putting in books and selling. But watch this. You're not going to God to change him. What you are doing, this is what you are doing. Stand over there. Thank you. That's me 10 years from now. This is me here today. God sees me over there. When I pray, I'm praying towards that. But I don't know it over here. So the Holy Spirit begins to deal in my heart and makes me pray towards that. Then before long, I'm looking just like this. But I thought I was praying for something else. God said, no, thank you. I was using those situations to cause you to pray towards what I saw you becoming. See, you're fighting the wrong battle. Listen, listen carefully. This is why God says, in everything, why? Because it's the rocket fuel to get you where God sees you. Then you begin to realize that he uses circumstances to get you there. And they're not pleasant, right? He knows that they're not all going to be pleasant, right? So what does he say? Give thanks. He didn't say like it. He said give thanks. Then once you get over there, you'll look back and say, woo, it was worth it. I am what I am because of the Christ. So, development comes through acquiescence. When you give thanks, you are giving in to the will of God. Now, I know there's some people right now saying, Pastor, what if it's the devil coming against you? Give thanks. Because here's the difference between a baby Christian and a mature Christian. A baby Christian tries to resist the devil. A mature Christian says, I'm going to use what you use against you. I'm not going to fight the devil. All I'm going to do is say, when he comes at me with stuff, I'm just going to turn it into praise. I'm going to put it, woo, glory. Yeah, y'all don't get it, y'all. I'm going to go back to my office. Watch this. Sister Lambert has a juice extractor, and I loved it when she would do this, like watermelon and celery, and she would put that through there, and then over in the other screen, you get the residual of the fruit, you see? But you didn't care about that. She just scraped that out and throw it in a plastic bag, throw it in the garbage, but the juice was banging, okay? So then she got, like creative. These potatoes. You know, I'm drinking potato juice and all this other stuff. You know, I would not give in to the broccoli. That's from the devil. But she would juice these things. Why? And you'd be surprised that what I did not like in its firm condition, I liked as a juice. God sends us all through a juicer. Because he don't like what you are in the flesh. You're arrogant, miserable, disobedient, rebellious, frustrating, gossiper, no faith. So he just puts you through the juicer called tribulation. Then when you come out of tribulation, you say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said, all right, now I can give you the people to drink. So you go through a process. Are you hearing me? The process is painful. But what's the process designed to do? Bring the gift out of you that you don't want to use. And that, those of you that didn't want to raise your hand, I'm telling you right now, that gift's going to come out because God doesn't do anything that he doesn't get glory out of. So you might as well just come join us. Come over to the dark side. Come join us. Come over to the yes, Lord side. Because he's going to get it out of you one way or the other. And if you don't believe me, ask Jonah. Now, since these gifts are there, since the Holy Spirit has come in to energize them, since he has come in to apply the power of God to these things, then let us examine said gifts. This is where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul addresses for the first time in his ministry in a specific way, he addresses the Trinity. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them through all the men. All right. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. The NIV says for the common good. In other words, the gifts benefit everybody. Listen carefully. That's why God doesn't give everybody the same gift. How many fingers do I have? No. How many fingers do I have? And? Now, watch this bit of logic. I have 4 fingers and 1 thumb. Listen carefully. Because you said 5 fingers, you are correct. All thumbs are fingers, but all fingers are not thumbs. While I do not subscribe to the theory of evolution, I must confess that there are quite a number of similarities between us and the simian representation until it comes to the fingers. Gorillas have no thumbs. So how do we evolve by adding a digit? They have the same folds in their ears as we do. They have the same nose as most of us. But God gave us distinctives. Now watch. As innocuous as this is, as unbecoming as this is, as non-showy as this is, it is critical. Critical. Can't hold a pencil without it. Can't poke without it. Can't play cowboys without it. Pew, pew, pew. It's critical, but yet it doesn't seem to have functional purpose. But it's critical. Same way with that thing you call a baby toe, which is not a clinical term. Most of you don't even have a nail on it. And those of you that do, it's so small, when you get a pedicure, they just put a little dot on it. Because it's just ugly. It's the one with the corn. It always gets the corn. It never fits in the shoe right. But you try to cut it off. And watch you go toddling over and roll. Why? Because Paul says the gift that seems to be the most unseemly generally turns out to be the one that's the most important. So he's trying to encourage you by saying, you might think just because I'm not up here behind the pulpit, or I'm not sitting in one of the pulpit chairs, or I'm not singing on the praise team, that I'm insignificant. Paul says, no. In fact, he says, you should get the most care, because the big shots get enough attention. Your big toe gets painted two colors. It gets a little frost on it. Why? Because it's the biggest toe. The strap on your sandals cover your baby toe. It don't cover that big one. You got that big one hanging out there. It gets a little frost on the edge. Why? Because things that are the most significant get the most attention. And Paul said it's not supposed to be like that in the body. So here comes the Holy Spirit. For some reason, Paul likes to work in multiples of three when he deals with significant doctrine. He does that with the fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. Nine, demonstrations, attributes, character is developed in those areas. He does the same thing with the gifts. He breaks them up into multiples of three. The first three, the mind gifts: wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. They're mind gifts. Those are gifts that are, we would call, intellectually connected. These are gifts that are very specific to the user. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits, which is the ability to determine the motivating spirit behind the action. It's done through the mind. You don't say, oh, I got in my spirit. Please help me. I've sought scripture after scripture, and I don't find any justification for that statement. God gave you the mind to convey spiritual truths. Ergo, the spirit and mind must be connected. The Bible tells us that carnal-minded people are at war against God. But spiritually-minded people, they walk in life and peace. So it would appear that rather than you focusing on your spirit, you need to focus on developing your mind. So you receive word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the ability to distinguish what spirit is motivating the character before you. This isn't something that you always feel. Sometimes you can feel it through the soulish affection, but then there are other times you discern it through the mental ability the Holy Spirit gives you. When the Bible says Jesus knew what was in the heart of all men, it wasn't, I got it in my spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals it to his mind. And we downplay the mind, but it's the most powerful tool God gave you. And so those three gifts, where does the devil fight you the hardest? In your mind. If he can get you to believe stuff, where's belief in the mind? Where's belief in the mind? Where's belief in the mind? Where is faith? Gotcha. Belief is in the mind. The more we hear the word of God, the more we convince our minds we got to believe him. The devil's after your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why this consistent onslaught for the mind? Because that's how you effectively interact with the kingdom of God. And from those three mind gifts, Paul goes into what we call power gifts. Gifts of healing. The working of miracles. You see, he tries to convince us that there are gifts that move in power. Working of miracles, healing, and faith. These are the power gifts. When a Christian flows in power, it will be in these areas. Faith is a power. When you move in faith, everything just kind of flows together. Why does the Bible call these gifts? Well, we'll go further and show you. He now talks about those last three gifts that we call communication gifts. And those gifts are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are communication gifts. And when Paul talks about interpretation of tongues and different kinds of tongues, he's really assessing the Pentecostal response. So when God, there's a difference between us using prayer language of Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost, and moving in various types of tongues. For example, if I have the gift of various types of tongues, I may go into a service, I might be invited to a service where it's predominantly Chinese. And while I'm there in that service, Holy Spirit wants to say something, so he'll just start speaking through me and giving that particular message in Chinese. And I've never studied it because it's one of the four most difficult languages in the world. So I ain't never taking it. I'm having enough trouble with Russian. So understand, when that comes out, that's a gift. That's a gift. Now I need to get you to see something as I move forward. But if I go to an Italian service and I just start speaking to them in Italian, that's not a gift. I spent 10 years studying that. That's not a gift. I know what I'm saying and I know how to, you know, parse the verbs and all the other things. A gift is anything done by supernatural ability. Now, this is what's going to help a lot of you. A gift doesn't necessarily mean you're going to use it all the time. Paul never speaks to owning the gift. He just speaks of identifying it. God may use you in a gift of healing one time. Doesn't mean he wants you to do it all the time. You might only do it once a month. Don't publicize yourself as being what the gift is. In other words, don't say, I have a healing ministry because I prayed for one person and they got healed. Now, there are people where the gift manifests regularly, but in many cases, it's not regular. It's sporadic. So, therefore, you can't say you have that ministry. You're just gifted. So, I have these three types of gifts. What are the mind gifts? What are the communication gifts? And what's the last three? And they are? I just stood here and said it, and y'all just talking to me like Smurfs. Now watch this. Verse 11. I'm going to read it out the NIV. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit is the gift giver, the gift energizer, and the gift utilizer. You say, well, where was Jesus? Go back to Ephesians 4, starting in chapter 8. you will see that it was Jesus who goes down into the lower regions to release those people so he could go to heaven and give gifted people. It is Jesus who places the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor teacher. Then the pastor teacher trains you in what the Holy Spirit has deposited in you. Then he causes you to utilize what's there. Am I clear? Now, your level of responsibility has just risen proportionate to my teaching. When you walk out of here today, God will no longer accept, I don't know. So then it behooves you to find your gift. Now listen carefully. God is a God of order. He's a God of purpose. You with me? Okay. So who do you think helps the child discover their gift? Parents. It's the parents' responsibility to help that child know what they're gifted to do. A child should never stumble onto their gift if the parent is parenting. If the parent is parenting, they know what their child is gifted to do before their child comes to that age. And if the parent is parenting, they will steer that child towards that goal. I ain't talking about trying to get them to go to New York and be models. That's not a gift. That's just you wanting a free ride on the back of your child. I was in a church and the Lord spoke to me about a little boy in the service. And the Lord said, my hand's on his life. I'm going to use him. So I walked up to the mother and I told the mother, I said, God's got his hand on your son's life and he's going to use your son. I said, but you cannot let him know it. But you must train him towards it. You're going to have to craft his friends. You're going to have to teach him to change his environment as he grows so that when God does call, he won't have to call through a whole bunch of weeds. Let me give you a biblical example. Samuel, his mother prayed him in, and then it said she raised him to a point, then she gave him to the priest. When God called Samuel, the only thing Samuel lacked was a knowledge of God's voice. But it didn't say. Do you know that in the Bible, apart from Jesus, Samuel is the only person with no recorded sin? You're not going to find it. And he was the only prophet who stood before the people and said, judge me. Have I taken anybody's money? Did I take anybody's property? Did I sleep with anybody's daughter? Why? Because he was raised for that office.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
This fall, Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church is hosting Friday Night Explosion Services, where you can experience high praise, heartfelt worship, and powerful messages. Join us Friday, September 16th, as Pastor W. Lonnie Herndon of the Church of Christian Compassion delivers an empowering word from the Lord. Services begin at 7 p.m. at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.